Are you ready for some word this morning?
Yes.
Yep.
So you thought you were done, didn't you? No, we're just getting started. Motor's just not getting real warmed up. Turn to the book of Habakkuk, chapter 2. Habakkuk, chapter 2. This is a common passage we go to a lot. We've been to it about 10 weeks in a row now, I think. Habakkuk was a minor prophet in the Old Testament. Only 3 chapters to the book. But for me, it's one of the most powerful books of the Bible, because it sets a course for us in the end times. Habakkuk, have you got it? Chapter 2. And Habakkuk in chapter 2 starts off saying, I will stand upon my watch and set me upon the tower. In other words, he's going to a place of intercession, prayer. I watch to see what the Lord will say unto me. He says, I expect to hear God. He's going to speak to me. What I shall answer when I'm reproved. And with that, he says, when God speaks to me, it's going to require change on my part. So many people are trying to change the course of God. God wants to change our course.
Yes.
So when you hear from God, many times it's going to require something you need to shift in your life. Something you need to stop, start, follow me, some new attitude or whatever, understanding. It's going to require us being developed. In fact, it says in Scripture, God's taking us from faith to faith and glory to glory. He wants to move us from just survival mentality, even as a Christian, to overcoming mentality. We have a sign in the back. It's really the mantra of this church. We win. Because the Bible says he always causes us to triumph. He's made us more than conquerors. This is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. That we're to win. And we've got to get out of a defeat mentality to see this happen. Amen. So God's changing us from feeling like we're always failing to knowing we can always win. Amen. Not our own ability, but through partnership with him. I found that if I try to do anything, I'm going to mess up. I shared the testimony yesterday. This is another rabbit trail. Forgive me. But I have a 21-year-old Chevy Tahoe that about a month ago, the ABS light came on, anti-lock braking system. And starts beeping in the vehicle. Beep, beep, beep. And so to stop, I unplug the fuse. Now I have no ABS system. I still have brakes, but not the ABS. And all the brake lights are on now. And so I did some study and found out it's probably dirty sensors. And so Friday night, I'd worked here all day. I went home, said, I'm going to work on that brake system. And so to do it, you have to pull the front wheels, pull the brake calipers and caliper brackets, pull the rotor, remove these sensors, clean those, get a screwdriver and a rag down. Anyway, it's a process. And it's really not hard. Do you try to take off caliper brackets that have been on for 21 years? You have any idea what I'm talking about, Zach?
Yeah, I do.
And those that know me know I have tools. Who was it said that yesterday? Kevin. What's it like having all your tools here? I said, you can go in my garage and not know anything's missing. And so I'm trying to get these bolts off. I can't get I got a 700-foot-pound impact on. I can't get it under some space. I can't get my torch on because the lines are rubber. I can't get these bolts loose. I have a 2-foot breakover bar with a socket on it. I can't budge it. I finally take a 3-ton floor jack, put it under the handle, the impact driver, and finally, after some time, I get them to break loose on one side to get it done. I go to the other side. They turn the other direction. It's the other side. I can't get the jack on. It's got to go down. I'm standing on the bar, jumping up and down. It's not budging.
Wow.
And I finally get to the place. I started, you know, just before dark. I thought I'll do it in an hour. I'm an hour and a half just working on these bolts. And now it's dark. And I said, Father, I repent. I didn't ask you for help on this. Get me some angels right now to get these bolts loose. And I take a little mini switch and hit it, and it pops free. I have no idea, but there it went.
Wow.
The favor of God.
Amen.
Put it back together, fixed it, and it's working perfectly. The point is God wants to partner with us. Amen. We have to invite Him in on the situation.
Right.
And if we do, He'll be there for us.
Right.
Amen.
And we always win. In fact, I'm speaking over it. I know these come loose because I always win.
Yes.
Bolts, I win over you. And here shows up God. So He says, God's going to speak to me, and it'll require change on my part. Verse 2, and the Lord answered me. If you will seek God, He'll answer you.
Yes.
And He said, write the vision, make it plain upon tables, that he may run that readeth it. Do you see this? God said, I'm going to give you a vision. I need you to write down the vision, and whoever reads the vision should run with it. Now, right now, if you're looking at a Bible, if you're reading Habakkuk, you just read the vision. You're about to read the vision. It's in your Bible. God knew when He gave this vision to Habakkuk, it was going to be in your Bible. And He said, whoever reads the vision's got to run with this vision. Amen. And so we're about to find out what we're to be running with. Does anybody ever ask God, God, what do you want me to do?
Yes.
What's your plan for my life?
Yes.
Right? What's your assignment? God decided to show the assignment to those who seek Him because He buried it in this little bitty book of Habakkuk in the minor prophets that most Christians never read. But He said, if you read this vision, you now know what I want you to do. You now know your assignment, right? Then He continues, verse 3, for the vision is yet for an appointed time. There's a specific time for the vision. But at the end it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will not tarry, it will not be late. God said, the vision I'm going to give Habakkuk that everybody should run with is for the end times. And let me say this right now. We're there. We are in the end of the end times. Jesus is coming back very, very soon.
Yes.
Amen. But, of course, the church has to finish their work first. So He says, I want this vision to be written down. And I want everybody who reads it to run with the vision. And in verse 14 is the vision. For the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Now again, we've been on this extensively. We're not going to take the time to review everything we've talked about. Covered in depth. But through the scriptures it says God's going to fill the earth with glory. And we know it's not after the return of Jesus, because that will be the millennial reign. And Isaiah 60 says that the glory is coming during a time of gross darkness on the earth. Amen? It's going to be a time of gross darkness on the earth. And God's glory is God's answer to the darkness. Paul said this, I'm going to give you the answer to a mystery that people will not understand for ages and generations. But it's Christ in you, the hope of glory. God's glory is coming through His bride.
Amen.
Through a segment of Christianity that are all in, not the whole church. Because Revelation 19 says the bride has made herself ready. Am I going too fast? We're kind of reviewing is what we're doing. And so there's a segment of the church that's all in. That are saying, God, whatever you have me do, I will do it. And He said, that will be the people that will manifest my glory. But it's because they run with that vision. Running means that you are all in. Running requires focused pursuit, chasing a target, not just running wherever you want to, If I took everybody out in the lot here and I said, okay, we're going to run a race. I'm giving the winner $100 and I said, go. You wouldn't know which way to run. Do you follow me? You're going to wait and find out where I say to run to know if you can win the race or not. God said, I've got a race. Most Christians are just running with what they think they should do versus what God said to do. And he said, run toward the pursuit of supernatural end time glory. And God's ready to come to end time church that functions in the supernatural power of God. See, now here's where we start to make a differentiation between those that really understand what Jesus spoke about. We have a mentality within Christianity today that once you're saved, what you should be doing is just try to be nice and do some good deeds. The kingdom of God was never meant to be limited to taking Jell-O salads to people when they're not feeling well. Shall I say that again? We have a mentality within the church that Christianity is just about trying to be nice, helping out here and there. How many know we should be nice? We should be the nicest people on earth. How many know we should do good deeds? Absolutely. But we're called to be a supernatural people, which means we walk in the gifts of the Spirit. We see people healed, supernaturally delivered, walking in blessing. God's blessing overtaking our lives. And yet, we just try to be nicer than we were before. Again, I wasn't raised in church. Nobody told me at any time growing up what Christianity was to be like. And so when I got saved, they gave me a Bible. Nice one. And just said, read it. Believe it. And so I did. And I started reading, and all I saw going through the Word were miracles. I mean, a Red Sea parting. How many know that's pretty amazing? Manna from heaven falling. The 10 plagues. For bad for some, but good for others. And I start reading about Jesus healing the sick, opening the eyes of the blind, raising the dead, casting out the devils. I'm reading about this. And then I read this, John chapter 14, verse 12. Jesus said this, the works that I do, you'll do also. Greater works than these shall you do because I go to the Father.
Yes.
He said, we're supposed to be doing the works he did. Man, I'm reading this, I'm getting fired up. I wasn't in church. Before I got saved, I'd been to church 3 or 4 times in my life as a guest. Twice with girls. You follow me? No intention of having any encounter with God. I was just going to be friendly. A couple times with one of my bosses, just to please him. But I got saved supernaturally. And just started reading the Bible, and all I saw were miracles. All cover to cover the power of God. Disciples raising the dead. The lame walking. And so, I couldn't wait after I read this, read much of it. I told my wife, we got to get to church. And so, we went to a church. In fact, the first church we started really attending was the one we got married in. And we got married, let's go to church there. And it was a pretty good sized church. And there were wheelchairs, you know, all along the sides and such. And I sat in the service and I went through the bulletin there, telling us what's going to happen next, this song and this benediction or whatever, you know, this part of the service. And it got to the end and I'm thinking, okay, now they're going to pray for all these sick people. We're going to see miracles. Those are my eyes. We're going to see the power of God move. And be dismissed. I thought, they didn't pray for anybody. They didn't talk about any of the power of God I saw in the Bible. We went to church after church trying to find people that believed in the miracle power of God. It took us some time. We finally found a church that believed in the power. In fact, we ended up there for a year or so and ended up in the church with Apostle Calvary were under, that they believed in the power. I'm after fulfilling God's assignment on my life. If God told me, I want you to be miserable every day of your life and I need you to, you know, clean out septic tanks or whatever, sign me up. If that's your will, God, let's do it. I have cleaned up a few. But God says, no, I want you to win. I want you to carry the same power Jesus carried in his life. Amen?
Amen.
I want you to manifest end time glory. And glory represents the fullness of who God is. It's the supernatural love of God so concentrated and tangible it spills over in the natural realm. And I've been in it before. We walk in such faith and power, we can't even imagine it in the natural. And see, again, I told you, this is where we start to step into it, where some people just can't comprehend it. We were called to be more than good deed doers. We're called to be anointed. The word Christian means a little anointed one.
Yes.
Meaning the power of God on your life. And the power of God manifested will always, if you stay in it, will manifest supernatural results. And Karen, I'm not sure you'd be with us today if not for the power of God on your life. Kidney's failing. One kidney dead. She's speaking the word of God and resurrected the kidney. Total turnaround from the death sentence they pretty much put upon her. We could go through and have testimony after testimony of God's power showing up in our life. Have testimony. We could have testimonies for hours of what God's done in your life, supernaturally. From healing to deliverance, the restoration of families, or to be walking in the power of God. And God, he's raising up a segment of the church that will run toward the glory. That's the assignment on this church. It's not to just be normal, smiling Christians, but to learn how to carry an anointing ourselves. The vent, that's the wind on my microphone. But it was warm, I tell you. I've got one here and I've got one there. Praise God, I'll stand here. We're to be anointed, which means you carry the presence of God with you.
Amen.
And with that presence is power to let you heal the sick.
Yeah.
Right? We read in Mark chapter 16, starting out service, go ye into all the world, preach the gospel. Amen?
Amen.
Well, that passage continues to say, these signs shall follow them that believe. They'll lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. Right? And cast out devils. We're to be supernatural beings. Growing up, I've been around a little while. Growing up, I never knew who was a Christian and who wasn't because everybody acted the same. Those days have come to an end.
Wow.
God's about to differentiate between those that are really saved and those that aren't. Gross darkness is taking over people's lives that won't serve God. And the glory is coming on those that will, if they're all in. You follow me? We're called to be supernatural.
Yeah.
Now again, just to review what we talked about. In Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 4, it tells the people that will not manifest the glory and the people that will. And he says, verse 4, behold, he whose soul is lifted up is not upright in him. In other words, people full of spiritual pride, people full of human pride, will not manifest the glory.
That's right.
What's it mean, pride? Pride means you think you know more than God or know more than the Word of God. Well, it applies to everybody else, but that doesn't apply to me. Me and God have an understanding. You're deluded. This is God's eternal Word.
Yes.
It applies to everyone equally.
Yes.
Amen. But those that think they know more than God have elevated their own intellect above the very infinitely wise Word of God and above God's name Himself. But it says the ones that will manifest the glory, it says, but the just shall live by his faith. The word just there means righteous. God's either attributed to or made you righteous by faith. And it says you'll live. Now the word life there means more than just breathing and walking. It means the very fullness of the God kind of life. It means you're healed, you're prosperous, everything in your family is how can I say, blessed. You're walking with joy unspeakable, full of glory. It says the just, the ones that will carry the glory, are going to do it by faith. You become a faith person, a word believing and acting upon person. And so we've discovered that this passage, the just shall live by faith, is quoted 3 times in the New Testament. I'm trying to get somewhere. Amen. Now let me back up just a minute. It says in Habakkuk, write the vision, it may run that readeth it. And there's some discussion or debate among theologians, what is the vision? I'm convinced it's verse 14, there's going to be filled with glory. But I heard a video a couple days ago talking about this passage saying the vision is verse 4. The just shall live by faith. I hope you guys can follow as quick as I'm trying to move. Are you with me so far?
Yeah.
Some believe the vision is verse 4, the just shall live by faith. But we know through the cross, faith in the cross, we're made righteous, we're made just. We have rights to life. But that's the real way to become righteous, faith in the cross. But that can't be the vision because Abraham was already declared righteous by faith. We'll see it in a few minutes. That's not the vision. That's just a process. The just shall live by faith is a process to get to the glory. And the earth being filled with glory. The prophetic vision everybody's to run toward in the end times is the church carrying God's supernatural glory. Can you believe this or not? Let me say something to begin with. This is the Word of God.
Amen.
Now, one thing that happened when I was saved, I knew this was God's Word. It was just supernaturally given to me. That it was inspired and everything in this book is true. At least truly, how can I say, written down. And this book knows more than I know. And if I'm going to live victorious, I got to get this book in me. Mm-hmm. I knew that. For 42 years I've known that. And so when I'm speaking about what God's going to do, it's not my opinion. Well, it's my opinion about what the book says. But it's in the book. Now, does God say to Habakkuk, to write down a vision? Is that my opinion or is that the book?
That's the book.
Does it say the just shall live by faith?
Yes.
Book. Yours shall be filled with glory? In the end times?
Book.
The problem is we've had people expressing their opinions about what the church should be doing versus going by the book. And we're relegating Christianity just trying to be nice and hang on till Jesus comes. Just be sweet. You know, don't cuss, smoke, drink, or lose your temper. We've just limited Christianity to that. I want you to show me in this book. Show me anywhere in the book. That's what Christians were doing. Go to any Old Testament book. Or were they just trying to be nice and do some good deeds? No. They were pursuing an end time plan of God with God's supernatural favor. Think about Abraham having a son. His wife's been barren all of her life, and at 90 she gives birth. That's pretty much miraculous. Amen. And Abraham kept on having kids and 100 and above. entire book as a miracle book. Yet again, as the church of the end times, instead of running toward glory, we run towards survival. Fundraisers. Social programs. 2018, March of 2018, I was in Ghana in West Africa. A missions trip. I think that was the sixth time I'd been. And I'm praying, when I go to Ghana, I don't go sightseeing, I don't touring, I go to the room and I pray the entire time. If I'm not ministering, I'm in the room praying, in the Word. And I've been praying, and I had a dream. I think it was a dream. There's one of the visitations I've had of Jesus. He came to me in a dream. He took me up above the earth and showed me the churches of the world. Just in an instant, I'm seeing the churches. I'm up there in outer space looking at the earth, like Artemis. And he said, here's the churches that will not manifest in time. But he's talking about the glory. In fact, of all the dozens of visions, revelations, visitations I've had, they've all dealt with the glory. Here's the churches of the world that will not manifest the end time glory. And the earth lit up all around. I mean, vast numbers of churches and areas. He said they can't go into the glory. He said because they're caught up in people-pleasing, socially-oriented programs, not towards walking in the power of God, not towards walking in my Word. They're more concerned about competition with one another. That was the main word. They're competing with one another versus walking by my Word, targeting what's in the Word. You know what some good news is? Very soon that vent's going to be gone. We're redoing the air conditioning system.
We're very thankful for the heat.
What's that?
Said we're very thankful for the heat.
That's right. Thankful for the heat, yes. He said they can't manifest those involved in competing with one another trying to have the best program to get people into their church. You know, the shiniest glitter about the church to get people in. So they can't manifest the glory. They're caught up in natural operations. Then he said, here's the church that will manifest the glory. And it was just spots on the earth, just like dots, scattered, way scattered. He said, here's the church that will manifest the glory. And he says, they are, after walking in the power of God, they're after doing whatever I tell them to do, they're after walking by faith, living by faith. They're believing me for the increase, for the resources, versus trying to manipulate people into giving up, helping them. He said, they'll manifest the glory. They're after the power. Thank you, Jesus. I'm telling you, that's our assignment, is to walk supernaturally. Amen?
Amen.
And so as a church, I really can't think of a miracle we haven't seen.
Amen.
I'm still waiting to see some limbs grow out.
Amen.
Although it's happened in our ministry. But we've seen blind eyes open, deaf ears open. Miracles, I mean major miracles, sick healed, devils cast out, and raising the dead. We've seen all of that. I just want more of it. How about you?
Amen.
I want everybody in church targeting and walking in above human capacity, which is supernatural, above human, by faith.
Amen.
This is okay with you so far.
Amen.
Now, we went to Romans chapter 1. Let's look at this very quickly. Oh, my goodness. Again, I might get to where I wanted to go. Romans 1. I'm going to touch on this and try to get to where I'm headed. We'll have you out of here by 4.
Just petty.
Our church, we can do what we want.
Romans Praise you, Jesus. And we mentioned the just shall live by faith. Paul knew that referred to the vision of the glory. He knew it. And Paul writes all through his... And if you get the revelation, you'll see he wrote about glory all through his writings. All through the epistles he wrote about glory. He says in verse 16, Romans 1, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power." Say power.
Power.
The word power, there's the word dunamis. Or dunamis, depending how you pronounce it. And it's talking about the dynamo, supernatural power of God. Our gospel, Mark was talking about these Bibles. This is not just a book of infinite wisdom, it's a book of infinite power.
Yes.
There's no limit to the power in this book. And Paul said in this book is dunamis, infinite power unto salvation. Now again, I watched a video this week about the word salvation, even referring to this verse. They made it clear that word salvation, soteria, sozo, is talking about the fullness of the God kind of life. That means no sickness, no lack, no pain, no oppression, no fear, and no strife. Your life is totally blessed of God. So there's power in this book for you to live a blessing. Well, Pastor Jack, I know that Christians are miserable every day of their life. I know Christians that died young. I know Christians that, you know, la-la-la-la-la, went through this and that. Listen, just because the power's in the book doesn't mean the power's in you. To get the power from this book in you, you need to get the book in you.
Yes. Amen.
To love what becomes faith in that book, that it comes out of your mouth, you speak it, and you have what you speak.
That's right.
We're so used to declaring defeat, disappointment, bad things happening. This always happens. I had a choice of not working on that vehicle. When I can't get the last side off, I could have said, "It's always the last bolts." I didn't say it. In fact, I left a part off that story. I finished putting it together. I put the fuse back in, started the car, and the ABS light's still on. Still on. Which is what was happening before. And as soon as I started driving, it would start beeping. And I heard this voice, "You wasted all the time. You're out there 2 hours trying to fix that vehicle. It didn't do nothing. Now you're going to have to hire somebody to fix it. It's going to cost you $1,000 or more on a car. It's not worth it." You know. Dang. I said, "Shut up, devil. When I drive that car, it'll work. God's blessed me. I always win." That vehicle, that ABS light goes out. Doesn't beep anymore. It goes out when I drive it. Which sounded ridiculous to my mind when I said it. But I didn't say nothing goes right. All that work for nothing. I didn't say it. I came and said nothing to her.
Wow.
10 o'clock at night I came in saying nothing. I'm arguing with a voice. I get it the next day. So I'm driving it now. So I drove it in Saturday morning. It was yesterday. I don't get 100 feet from my driveway. The light goes out. Stayed out. No brake lights, no warning lights, no engine lights. It's out. On a 21-year-old vehicle. Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah. Glory.
But you got to hold to your victorious mindset, because we're used to saying, nothing goes right for me. Everything goes wrong. How many times do we say things like, "I knew I was going to drop that screw. It's the last screw. I dropped the last screw." Don't say that. Say, "I find that screw.
Yes.
I always win."
Yes.
It is the power of the salvation of all that believeth. That's the word for faith. The just shall live by faith. This book doesn't work until you believe it and speak it. Act on it and stand on it. For therein, in the book, is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith.
Yeah.
So you get saved, you have a measure of faith. It's up to you how much you grow it.
Yeah.
And time in this book. Time in church, time in the right church, time under the right teaching, time praying in the Spirit will increase your faith. For as it is written, the just shall live by faith. And now Paul's pointing all of this back to the glory. Faith to faith. And again, 2 Corinthians 3:18 says, and glory to glory. Now I want to go to Galatians. I started to go here the other day. All I can do is touch on it again this morning. Galatians chapter 3. Look at verse 11. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident, for the just shall live by faith. Now, when you see in this passage, here's this connection to the glory again. Paul wrote this book as well, the connection to the glory. But I want to back up and get the context of all of this. How much time I'm going to have, how far I'll get, but let's read a few verses. We can pick it up next Sunday. And I will be here next Sunday. Let's start at verse number 5. He therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, who's the He? Father God or Jesus, one or the other. The Godhead. He that ministereth to you the Spirit and worketh miracles among you, doeth he it by the works of the law, by the hearing of faith. Works of the law is just trying to be a good person. Trying to do good deeds. Faith is by believing the word and acting and speaking it. Acting on it and speaking it. You follow me? Yeah. Believing God for his intervention, supernaturally. But here's the point I wanted to make right here. The Galatian church, of all letters God, Paul wrote, he rebuked the Galatian church more than any of them. The Galatian church, Paul said, I don't know if you're going to make it or not. He said, I may have invested time with you for nothing. It could be in vain. They've gotten caught up in legalism. Being circumcised, trying to follow the Judaic law versus live by faith. And Jews were coming in telling them, it's not enough to believe in Jesus, you've got to be circumcised as well. Paul said, you've been bewitched. That's not faith. Do you follow me? And he heavily rebukes the Galatian church. Do you follow me on this? But here's the point. But he says, he that works miracles among you. Even the heavily rebuked Galatian church was seeing miracles take place. And you're not trying to attack another church. That's not the goal. The goal is to point out that miracles should be in the church. Right there, we put that up the other day. That's a miracle right there. Amen. I have the picture on my iPad. I can show somebody if you want to see it after service. 19 years ago, I asked my youth pastor at the time, Pastor Chad Hollering, to give me a banner made. I wanted to say, expect miracles. Expect miracles. Now, I'm pretty sure I knew at the time Oral Roberts saying for his ministry was expect a miracle. I wonder what it says, expect miracles, plural. So he went out and had that banner made 19 years ago, the song we've had that. And we put it up, thought nothing of it. And a few years back, I'm watching on television an old Oral Roberts program. He's one of the great heroes of faith of the past. I'm watching his program, and he's preaching, and there's behind him is a banner that says, expect a miracle. How many saw that the other day when I was here? Karen, you saw it? Anybody else? Some of you? Oral Roberts' banner is the same colors and font as that sign. Looked identical, except his had an A between them. I'm telling you, God's inspiring us to believe for miracles.
Yes.
You can call it a coincidence. I call it just a God moment.
Amen.
My youth pastor gets one exactly like Oral Roberts. By accident. You have a picture. I took a screenshot of the TV. True screenshot. God's looking for a church that sees the power of God manifested. If we so watered down Christian expectation, we think, well, as long as they just have a nice youth program or a nice children's church, I'm good. I started off, when I first read the Bible, I've been raised in church, I looked for a church with power that believed the book. And we didn't stop searching until we found one. And we studied and stayed in there faithful until we had our own. God wants each of us to learn how to walk in this. And it's anointing. To really be a Christian, a little anointed one. Doing the worst Jesus did. And I can't find a single scripture where it says Jesus took somebody a jello salad. There's nothing wrong with that. But there's more to it. Are you with me?
Amen.
Let me read another verse or two and we'll stop for this week. I spend so much time to review every week.
That's okay.
But it's getting deeper in us, right?
Yeah.
Verse 6. Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. That's what I mentioned a while ago. The vision of Habakkuk 2 cannot be the Joshua by faith. Because Habakkuk was doing that. Abraham believed, that's the word for faith, God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Abraham was not born again. He was not made righteous. He was attributed righteousness. God says, because you believe him, I'm not going to consider all your sin, all your mistakes. I'm going to call you righteous just because you believe me. Now, through the cross, we believe in Jesus. He took our sin. We are made righteous. Abraham had never had a new nature, never had the born-again experience. He was never made a new creation, a new heart. We have been. Yet Abraham believed in God. Not in God. Believed God. Obeyed God. What excuse do we have for not walking in the same power? The same possibility. Well, listen, I can tell I've stretched you far enough today. I'm going to mercy on you. Because that's how I am. I'm merciful. Isn't that right? Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you, Lord God, your calling to rise above and be more than just mere humanity. We're called to be walking in divine power and blessing. I pray you birth something in each of us today, Lord God, that calls us to go beyond and run toward your end time expectations. That we can be the church that sees your glory manifest. Oh, the devil bankrupted, put under our feet, and your harvest coming in. We thank you for it. We give you praise in Jesus' name. Now we declare this church by faith. In this church, there are none sick. There's no pain. There's no oppression. No suicide. No mental discouragement. We declare it by faith. And there's no lack. No lack of finances, resources, friendship, whatever we need. There's no lack. You pay for all of it to be covered. And there is no strife or division. This is a church of covenant love. We thank you for it. We give you praise in Jesus' name. So be it. Amen.